soon rainstorm of beautiful souls flooding your temple room. I am very much grateful for this opportunity to be with you today. A special thanks to Vajranarayan Prabhu, Mahatma Prabhu, for so kindly inviting me to assist them in some small way, to Trivedra Prabhu for being one of the great inspirations of my life. And to all of you for coming. I was just thinking, this being the temple of Radha Gididhari, it is special to remember how the Lord was given the name Gididhari, which means the lifter of the Govardhan Mountain. This is a very deep, profound story found in Srimad Bhagavatam, with elaborate explanations and realizations by saints over the past 5 millennia. I'd like to just focus on one very special, crucial, and practical lesson that we're being taught through this wonderful lila or pastime. How the greatest tragedy can be transformed to the greatest opportunity if we turn to God in that situation. There was a massive rainstorm, an inconceivable rainstorm. The reason behind it, we all know. If you don't, you can read the Krishna book and get all the inside details. This rainstorm was about to devastate the entire land of Vrindavan, with all the people and the animals. It wasn't just raining drops, it was raining pillars. Massive torrents of water were pouring down. And the land was getting higher and higher and higher and higher with water. Recently, I was in Mumbai during the monsoon season. And this happens usually once or twice every rainy season. There's a massive downpour. One gigantic cloud hovers over the sky. Everyone's looking. Usually before this big storm, everyone's hoping for rain. Because in India, in most places, it only rains during monsoons. And after that, there's not a drop of water. So all the water for the whole year is dependent on the rainy season. It has to supply the reservoirs, the rivers, the lakes, the water storage areas, an entire year's supply. And if there's anything less, it's a real disaster. There's no water. In the Bombay area, there's approximately 15 million people. And in India, people like to take baths. And they like to cook, too. And all the other needs for water. But a couple times a year, the storm comes and it floods the whole city. It's very interesting how this world is. If there's not enough or if there's too much, it's really difficult. Everything has to be more or less just what we want to be comfortable. A couple of years ago, the rain was so deep that the airports closed, the railway stations closed, the streets, there was not a car in the road. The rain was, in some places, above the roof of the cars. It kind of looked like Venice. Have you ever seen Venice? I saw people on rowboats just going down the streets of Bombay as the water was pouring on them. And other people were walking, it was up to their chest, some people up to their necks, trying to get home. And I was thinking, all this water came from one cloud. How much water? In order to get any water in the city by artificial means, you need trucks. One truck can bring maybe so many thousands of gallons. Here, this cloud had trillions of gallons. It would take millions of trucks to bring that much water. And yet, although the cloud is carrying all that water, it's floating in the sky. If we put like a water bottle with that much water, it would fall down and crush everyone. A Krishna can put all that water in a cloud that's just floating in the sky. And birds are flying right through it, happy. There's no and our planes are flying through it without hardly getting wet. And then when it's time to release the water, but this rain that was coming down in Vrindavan was something beyond imagination. The residents, they were helpless. They were hopeless. In such a situation, what did they do? They all ran to Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Mahabaho. Say, Krishna, please protect us. The whole reason for all this rain is we listened to what you told us to do. Sometimes Krishna puts his devotee in a very difficult situation for a higher cause. Or sometimes the devotee puts him or herself in a particular situation due to mistake, ignorance, or some divine arrangement. But whatever the cause may be, the opportunity is there to turn to God. So Krishna smiled. He said, no problem, come with me. And then he went to this massive mountain called Govardhan and effortlessly lifted it. With the ease of a little child, he was only 7 years old. A 7-year-old boy plucking a mushroom from the ground, lifting it over his head. He playfully lifted Govardhan. When he did, there was massive sounds reverberating in all directions, uprooting a mountain from the ground. Today, to walk around Govardhan Hill, it is 21 kilometers. And it was bigger then. And Giridhari, the lifter of Govardhan, told everyone, now you see, Govardhan is so nice, he has become an umbrella. Everyone come under and join me. And all the gopas and the gopis and the cows and the calves and the goats and the sheep and everybody came. And they watched Krishna. It's a beautiful story. For 7 days and 7 nights, the winds blew, the rains poured. And everyone had an experience they never had before. they could just be intimately looking at Krishna for 7 days and seven nights continually. And Krishna, who is in, has Achintya Shakti, inconceivable potencies, could be gazing at each of these hundreds of thousands of people, devotees, and each one is thinking, he's only looking at me. And he's smiling, intimately reciprocating with each person's love, simultaneously. It was the most joyful festival. They never wanted the rains to stop. There was nothing they could possibly long for than to just be with Krishna together. And this, and he was revealing such an enchanting form, standing with three bends in his beautiful body, balancing this gigantic mountain on the tip of the little finger of his left hand, smiling, laughing, joking with everyone. Wouldn't you like to be with God in that setting? With all the most beautiful devotees all together? So what was a apparent great impediment was transformed into a festival of joy. In the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita, there is a vital verse. Matra sparshastu konteya sitosna sukha dukkha agama payano nityas tamsta diksha svabharata. The non-permanent appearance of happiness and distress, honor, dishonor, pleasure, pain, success, failure, health, disease, victory, defeat, birth, death. Everything in this world is built on the foundation of dualities. The non-permanence of these dualities like happiness and distress and their disappearance in due course of time are like the appearance and disappearance of the summer and winter seasons. One must learn to tolerate them without being disturbed. What does that mean, to tolerate without being disturbed? It doesn't mean that you don't feel it. It doesn't mean that you don't experience it. It means that one is fixed in their purpose and doesn't give up. But one perseveres with doing what is right, with performing their dharma. And the ultimate dharma is samsidhir hari toshinam atapum bir vijas kreshtas varna shrama vibhagasha shvanushtatasya dharmasya samsidhir hari toshinam. Whatever our occupational duty, whatever our domestic responsibilities, our true success is that God or Krishna is pleased with the sincerity of our efforts. To keep that focus. In the Gita it says, Vyavashayatmaka Bhudhir Ekeha Kuru Nandana Ahushakas, that one who is really on the true path, they have determination. They keep the focus always in the forefront, and they pursue that focus. In this world where things are always changing, there's big problems with relationships. Relationship between friends, husband and wife, brothers and sisters, godbrothers and godsisters, between different races, different religions, different nations. And as long as we put the focus of our lives on me, on what satisfies my mind and my senses, then there is potential conflict with everyone and anyone at any time, according to the situation. Our beloved Srila Prabhupada gave a very simple example. If there's a still pond, and you throw stones in different parts of the pond, each stone is going to create circles that expand from it. And because the center of each circle is different, all the circles collide, and the pond becomes very turbulent. But if you throw each stone in the same place, all the circles are in harmony with each other. There's no collision. That the foundational problem of this world is we are thinking that we are this body, we are this mind, and we are identifying with what is in relationship to this body and mind. And because we all have different bodies, different minds, and we all have different attachments to what we identify with, there's so much conflict. There's world wars, there's crime, there's marital problems, there's betrayal, there's racism, terrorism, sectarianism. It's all simply due to this ahankar, this ego of misconception. But if we focus our consciousness on what is truth, on the higher principle of what actually connects us to the essence within ourselves, connects us to Krishna, then we can adjust all the impediments, all the dualities, in such a way that it brings us closer to God and brings us closer to each other. In the fifth chapter of the Gita, Krishna tells, Loktaram jagatapasam sarva loka maheshwaram suhridam sarva bhutaram yatvanam shanti mishti. Now Srila Prabhupada and our acharyas, they declare this verse to be the simple peace formula of the Bhagavad Gita. Krishna says, this is the way by which we can find true peace. To simply have a particular perspective, an attitude, and a focus. That the absolute truth, or God, is the proprietor of everything. Proprietorship means control. Ultimately, what do we have control over? Either today or tomorrow, everything will be snatched away from us. We are entrusted with this body. We are entrusted with a wife or a husband or children. We are entrusted with a particular amount of wealth or some temporary proprietorship of land. Well, if we understand God is the proprietor of everything, and the second thing is everything is ultimately meant to be utilized for the pleasure of the Lord. The Bhagavatam describes if you water the root of the tree, every part of the tree is happy. If you try to water every little part of the tree, nothing's really happy. It's just temporarily shining, but it's not nourished. The absolute truth is the source of everything, the root of everything, of all that exists. When we please Krishna, we are actually doing the greatest for the satisfaction of our own body, mind, word, soul, and everyone. And to trust that the absolute truth is the best well-wishing friend of all living beings. And in whatever situation, we turn to God, we access the greatest power, the power of grace, which can uplift us, liberate us, purify us, and ultimately release and awaken the dormant love that is within the heart of every living being. So this verse in the Gita tells that if we keep our focus and harmonize the various impediments that come in our life on all levels, while pursuing this higher principle, this path of perfection, then curses are transformed into blessings. And we can recognize it as such. There are many examples. In Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Lila, Lord Chaitanya had just taken sannyas. And by the way, this year is the 500th anniversary celebration of Lord Chaitanya taking sannyas. It's a very special festival. On Makara Sankranti in January, the Lord, in a spirit of deep compassion for all living beings, left everything of his beautiful, loving life with associates behind for the welfare of suffering souls. He was in Shantipur, and his mother was brokenhearted. He left home to become a renunciate. Sometimes it's very difficult for parents to adjust to that. I have experience. Would you like to hear how my parents heard about it?
Yes.
Somehow or other, I was really pulled and pressurized to take sannyas. I was actually totally against it, but that's a long story and I'm not going to bore you. It's not boring, but we don't have time for it. But anyway, somehow or other, I accepted the will of my god-brothers and god-sisters, and I accepted sannyas. But I forgot to tell my parents about this. It was like a minor detail. I forgot to tell them about it. So I was traveling and giving talks, and one day my father called the community I was living in and said, "Is Radhanath there?" Everyone called me Radhanath Das. And they said, "Oh, you mean Radhanath Swami?" And he said, I never heard this Swami. What does that mean?" He said, "You didn't hear?" He said, "Hear what?" "That Radhanath is now a Swami." And they said, "Well, my father is a conservative American businessman living in the Chicago area, struggling hard to make a living. He didn't know what a Swami was." "So what is a Swami?" He said, "Oh, he took a lifelong vow to never get married, to never have a relationship with a woman, to never own any possessions, to wander around as a beggar for the rest of his life." "He's not allowed to own a house. He's not allowed to own anything." And my father was stunned. And the person on the phone said, "Mr. Slavin, you don't sound very happy about this." And my father said, "I'm not happy about it at all." So then a couple of weeks later, I called him. I said, "Hello, Father." He said, said, Radhana, my son, what happened to you? I said, nothing. He said, well, what's new? I said, nothing. I forgot, I didn't tell him. He said, I was told that you're a Swami, and you're not allowed to ever get married, you're not allowed to ever have a girlfriend, you're not allowed to ever own a house, you're never allowed to get a job, anything. You made a vow for the rest of your life like this. Is this true? I said, oh yeah, I did make that vow. And then my mother found out. But some years later, when they came to India and they met so many beautiful people who were connected, and the wonderful things that were being done, they became happier than I've ever seen them in my life. They were crying in joy. They were so proud and happy. So it's another example. If you just keep mind on the focus and the higher principle, even things that seem to really be going wrong end up better than ever. In fact, when my mother passed away, the whole family did something that never happened before. They decided to cremate her body. First time in the history of our family tree. And give the ashes to me to bring to India. Because she was so proud of what we were doing there. So if we just keep focused on our goal and the higher principle, even things that appear to be difficult, they become adjusted in a miraculous way. So when Lord Chaitanya took sannyas, his mother was brokenhearted, but then Lord Chaitanya met her in Shantipur, and he was so affectionate, he bowed down to her and sat on her lap, and she was kissing him in front of everyone. And Lord Chaitanya was crying, and he said, I was crazy, I shouldn't have taken sannyas. But I already did. Now if you want, I'll stay home with you. Whatever you tell me. And Sachi Devi was thinking, I want him to stay home with me, but people will criticize. Swamis don't live with their mothers. They can visit, but they don't live. That's not the tradition. So she came up with the idea, we want to go to Vrindavan, but the same Krishna of Vrindavan is living in Puri as Jagannath. So go there, because it's close by, and I get to hear news about you regularly. So the Lord accepted. In the order of my mother, I will live in Jagannath Puri. And he was about to leave, after so many days of kirtan with all the devotees. And Advaitacharya said, you should not leave now, because it's very dangerous. There are so many obstacles. There's a war between different kings of different provinces, and there's soldiers fighting. And these soldiers are very, very aggressive people. If they see you, they may kill you, they may rob you. It's not a time to go. Too many obstacles. And the Lord said, when is there ever a time in life when there is not obstacles? If this is what I must do, I will go now. And Advaita, the same person, requested him to stay. He said, what you are saying, what a great truth. Such wisdom. For one who is on the spiritual path, obstacles are the dear friends. Friends are there to help us. The obstacles are the friends of the Lord who are there to help the devotee. I'll give a few contemporary examples. In England, we have Bhaktivedanta Manor. Actually, almost everything is based on obstacles. It's amazing. Let's go back before that. In 1922, Srila Prabhupada was given the order by his Gurudev, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada, to spread the message of Lord Chaitanya in the English language all over the world. Now at the time, Prabhupada was just married and had a child. But he took that order as his life and soul within his heart. Where that wonderful episode happened, where the seed of this of Prabhupada's whole mission was planted in his heart by his guru, was on the rooftop of the only temple of his guru outside of Mayapur in Calcutta, on Uttadanga Junction Road. Recently I went there, and I was looking at that rooftop. And I was just picturing Prabhupada. He was 25 years old. He never met his guru before. It was their first meeting. He bowed down. Before he even got up, he got a life mission. And he took it to heart. You'll be happy to know that just within the